So good. Let's get into it. How many people are first time here? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Wow. Well, thank you for coming. any responses, questions about the meditation we did? You know, again, very practical. Any questions about the meditation? Things that came up, how to handle this, what's it about? Yes.
So I'll say something, I'm sitting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's another whole level of practice. Okay, it was just a question about meditation, and I was saying, you know, this is we do on Sunday mornings, this is public, and this is we do a public meditation. Like, it's available to everybody. But the issue you raise is more specific to meditation practice, and we can talk later. Any other questions about... Good, so you're all, that means everyone's clear. I'm never quite sure whether silence means, oh, I'm too shy to ask, or I'm kind of sleepy here. And I mean, it's like the practice is clear to everybody. You know, it's no matter what teachings we do, it's always good to have, especially these days, to have a foundation in fundamental mindful practice, grounded. Good. Yeah, so today's topic, well, when they asked me for a topic, I gave them the challenge of sharing the Dharma in a pleasure-seeking and self-promoting world. I'm not sure what all that means, and I'm not sure that's all that I'm going to talk about, but that's sort of what came up. And so why don't we begin there? Because... you know, these, like these teachings, the meditation teachings you learned today, you know, we're each coming today from our life. And our life, we are not solo practitioners. We are engaged in life. We are affected by life, which means all the things that are going on in our society, in our culture, in the world are affecting us. And therefore, by their affecting us, they're affecting this mind that therefore shows up on a Sunday morning to meditate. You see, there's a context. And oftentimes we lose sight of the context in which we're showing up, and we get caught in the details of life and the particulars of life and really don't see the bigger picture of what's going on, which is really often what is conditioning us, what's informing us. So again, I think for people today, both people who are sharing the Dharma or teaching the Dharma or sharing these teachings and practices, but of course that equally means all the people who are interested in them or seeking them or wanting to practice them, that we have to be aware of the challenges of our time. And perhaps the challenges are making things quite difficult to practice. Anybody find it difficult to practice? Anybody finding it difficult to remember to practice? Anybody ever heard about mindfulness and the benefits of mindfulness and yet find their capacity to be mindful during the day is on a scale of 1 to 100 on the lower end? Okay. You know, it's interesting. The first thing that came to me is the Buddha. You know, the Buddha, you know, Buddhism began with the Buddha and his great enlightenment, in which he really saw through all the fabrication of the mind and really experienced the fundamental wholeness and purity, spaciousness, openness, unconditionedness of his true mind. That's why he's called the Buddha, the enlightened one. But he didn't, you know, he didn't sit down and write a book and look for a publisher. Okay? He didn't make a YouTube video announcing his great enlightenment. He didn't take pictures and post them on Instagram. I mean, he didn't do any of that. Actually, after the kind of the bliss of his breakthrough, which lasted for weeks, when he thought about sharing his experience, what he had learned, right? His first thought was, no. His first thought was, nobody's going to be interested. I mean, that was interesting. He said, who's going to be interested in this? He said, everybody out there, they're very busy, right? They're very busy with their work, with their crops, with their business, raising their families, you know what I mean, just dealing, you know. He said, who's going to be interested in really learning about the nature of their own mind and how kind of misidentified they are? Right? How many people really want to end their suffering? See, how many people are really opened to a new kind of view of things? And again, his first thought was, nobody. So maybe I'll just kind of, you know, live a simple life. In the storyline, it says that he encountered, and different stories have it differently, encountered some Burmese traders or whatever who saw him, could see there was something very beautiful about him, talked to him a little bit, and, you know, said, well, why don't you share what you've experienced with others? And he gave this, you know, who's interested? And so they said to him, that may be true. But he said, there are people out there, and the expression is, the dust of the world lies light upon their eyelids. It's a very interesting expression. It's not that there's no dust, right? But the idea of dust or dirt is, can't see clearly, right? If the windows are dirty, the windows are dusty, you can't see out clearly, right? And so the Buddha says, you know, who's going to be interested? And they say, well, there are some. That there is that worldly preoccupation, but it's light on them. It doesn't blind them, right? So there are some who would be interested. So it's interesting that he, even though he had his realization and his understandings, he also looked at the context of the world he lived in and thought, who's going to be interested? You see? Because people are so absorbed in all their more, you know, in all their life matters. Who's going to be looking at the bigger issues? Who's going to be asking bigger questions about life? Who's going to be really looking for alternatives, right, to the way they're living? So he went out, and of course, the world he went out to was not like our world, right? This is like 6th century BC in what was then, you know, now it's Nepal and India, southern Nepal, northern India, but a very, you know, feudalistic, agricultural-based society. You know, I could go on and on, but a totally different world than ours. But it had its own challenges. You know, people had their own belief systems. They had their own caste systems. They had an animistic view of life, where there were spirits around, and people often looked to religion or spirituality to do the rituals to protect them and, you know, manage the spirit world and the dark world, you know what I mean? And the Buddhist Dharma was not about that at all, right? But yet this was the world he entered. And it's very interesting that in his own way, he dealt with it, right? He dealt with it. He dealt with the caste system by, in his own community, opening up to everybody, and making very clear the idea that somehow people are born in a certain way and they have to stay that way in a certain caste, he said, is not true. Everyone is essentially a Buddha. Everyone has the potential to transform and change. And so the idea of caste was incredibly limited in that fixed way. He didn't attack people's animistic beliefs in spirits and evil spirits and, you know, and that which was very pervasive. He accepted it. He just said, those spirits, and if you propitiate the spirits and do all that, he said, that's still not going to free you from your suffering. That's still not going to make you happy. That's still not going to produce real wisdom and compassion within you. So he was willing to, again, look into his society, and there, I could go on to other things. You know, he saw war. I mean, he was, you know, he came from a clan of warriors. He was in the warrior caste. His family were of that caste. In his wanderings, he encountered kings. You know, he encountered people in dispute, right? People in war. And his point always was no violence. You know, he wouldn't get drawn into the dispute. His first point always was no violence, no harm. Don't do harm to each other, right? You know, learn how to negotiate. Learn how to communicate. Learn how to problem solve all these disputes. But he also saw, he was very strong about views, you know, and we know that we live in a time where people, including ourselves, are so attached to our views, our ideas about things. And we have views about everything. And he saw the danger in being attached to views. But he said, once you think your view is correct, then you think everybody else's view is incorrect. Once you think your view is superior to others, then you think everybody else's is inferior. And that will only lead, he said, to dispute. He called it, he said, society is like a jungle of dispute. I mean, he should only be alive today. Right? I mean, you know. He said, but inside, you know, it's a jungle of dispute, a jungle of quarreling. Right. So let's come back to today. So what can we say about what's going on in our culture, in our world, which is the environment in which we grow, in which we develop, in which we interact, right? What can we say about the challenges of our culture that prevent us from really embracing a transformative path, a different way of being, or even maintaining as simply a daily meditation practice, right? What prevents us from just, I mean, would most people who are familiar with mindfulness agree that being mindful is probably a good thing? Would everybody agree with that? Being present to your life is a good thing. Not being lost in thoughts is a good thing. Not being swept away by emotions is a good thing, right? Not, you know, being swayed by other people's opinions and what they think of us. And would everybody agree? And yet what? And yet what? What? Sometimes we do, and a lot of times we don't. Is that true? Yeah. So what are the challenges? Let me ask you. What are the challenges? I mean, you know, we're all in this culture. We're all dealing with the same thing. Some more, some less. What are the challenges that you have? Just raise your hand and call them out. What?
Smartphones.
So we, and the problem. Well. I mean, smartphones are just a thing. You pick it up, you put it down. You turn it on, you turn it off. The problem is not the smartphone. What's the problem? Yeah, and what's and when he's pointing to his head for those online. I know, yeah. So he said smartphones, and then, so when you point to your head, that means what?
Attention.
Yeah, eye attention. All right. So and smartphones is just a device that is endlessly giving us what? What? Information. Right? So one of the things that we're dealing with is the easy available of information, right? Right? It's just totally available, 24/7. And like you said, you don't have to go anywhere to do it, right? Right. So there's a constant access to information, right, of all kinds. Now, what's wrong with that? What's the challenge of that?
The reactive mind.
The reactive mind, which means, what else is the challenge? What's the challenge? I mean, you're all in this. Yeah, it's distractible. What's it distracting you from? But don't call it practice. What's it distracting you from? It's distracting you from what you really think is important or meaningful or purposeful in life. Isn't that what it's distracting us from? Because it's so what? What? It's so pleasurable. It fulfills all our short-term desires, or many of them. What does it do? What? What? It entertains us. Anybody notice that their phones or electronics are a constant source of entertainment? If you're a news junkie, right? If you're a what other, you know? What else? What other? I mean, what, you know, all these, the YouTubes and the Instagrams and the gaming and the shopping and the what's it, what, TikTok. You know, somebody sent me something. I've heard about TikTok, but I didn't know what it was. And so somebody sent me something about some young Buddhist, I'm not sure, he's a teacher, whatever he is, who's on TikTok. They said, "Oh, you'd be interested in this." I was amazed, because not only was I amazed what I was seeing, but for those of you everybody's familiar with TikTok. I'm sort of a late bloomer. Is that everybody's familiar with TikTok? But you know, they give you lots of other choices, and so I just sort of followed things around. I mean, don't take this personally. I mean, inane, superficial, meaningless, right? Entertaining for how long?
5 seconds.
5 seconds. And I mean, some light bulbs went on inside me. What? I mean, this is amazing, right? I mean, a constant barrage of 5, 10 seconds of... it can only be 5 seconds?
Shorter.
What?
It could be shorter.
It could be long. It could be 10 seconds or 20 seconds. Right? But it's endless, isn't it? I mean, you could endlessly get lost in it. And at the end of it, what? You've been what? For 10 minutes, for 20 minutes?
Time.
Wasting time. You've been entertained. Right? And that's... And then I saw that some reference to something called Twitch. What is it? Obviously, there's somebody, I don't know what it is, but obviously. So Twitch is what?
It's like a streaming. Like people play games on it.
Oh, okay, I don't know. But anyway, I mean, it was like, And I saw these other references, and I realized that there's like a whole universe, isn't there, out there. You know. The culture. You know, what came to me, you know, there was a, you probably all know this, there was just a very simple quote where somebody was talking about, it was actually at the time of, you know, the Roman emperors and basically, you know, how do they keep the rabble in line, right? Like, we're the rabble, you know, saying, like, you know, how do they keep us, and you know the quote, right? Give them bread and circuses. Right? You remember that? Give them bread and circuses. And I thought, yeah, like, you know, give them enough to eat so their bellies are full and keep them entertained. Right? And you know. Right. So, we, you know, but I mean, it's not just giving us enough to eat. They also give us food networks. You see what I'm saying? You know, it's not just, you know, going to the arena for the gladiators or you know, whatever the circus was. It's like, you know, for those of you who have cable, right? I mean, how many sports channels are there? You know, I mean, like for every sport, there's like 5-10 channels, right? I mean, so what am I saying? It's endless circuses and very seductive and very easy. We don't have to go to the arena. We don't have to travel across town. We don't have to go, right? We just, you know. So is that clear? You know, I don't need to go on. And at the same time, you know, what's the bigger picture? See, that's all very immediate and, you know, like moment to moment, minute to minute. But what's the bigger picture of what's going on in this life? Well, we see what? I mean, every day, mental health issues, right? Many health issues among the young, many mental health issues among 20 people in their 20s and 30s, addiction issues. Massive, pervasive. Does it have any relationship? Right? Stress. People are stressed. Stress means what? Their minds are stressing them. Their thoughts are out of control. Their feelings are out of control. They're stressed. But how can you get people to deal with these things in an effective way, not a band-aid way, if people cannot pay attention long enough? Right. I mean, the Buddha, he wandered around northern India. He showed up in a village, he and his monks kind of make camp, you know, outside of town. I mean, they had no possessions, they used to beg their food. You know, and the Buddha would, you know, they make their camp, they go in the town in the morning, beg for their food, then they come back, and then the Buddha would sit there and people would come, you know, and ask him questions, take teachings from him. You know, people, for hours and hours, this is the way he taught. People had time. People had interest. When they left the talk, the first thing they didn't do was check their cell phone. See, what happens to us? See, what happens to us when we come like for a day like this? We meditate together, we share community together, we listen to a Dharma talk about significant, hopefully, issues or meaningful issues. And then as soon as we leave, we change the channel. Right? As soon as we leave, we change the channel. How is this going to stick? you see the question, you know, to ask ourselves, how is this going to stick? If I don't spend any time reflecting on, thinking about, questioning, you know what I mean? That kind of, see, how's it going to stick? It won't stick. That's why we say we forget. You know, we take things in bites. You know, many people get their Dharma these days through the internet, right? You know, listening to podcasts and listening to talks and all that. But you're listening to that, but before that, what might have you been doing? And what do you do right afterwards? And do you just go from one to another, from another, from, you know what I'm saying? Where's the absorption? Where's the time to reflect? So it's a challenge. Right? It's a challenge. Any challenges that I've missed that people have? That you have in your life? That prevents you from doing something or living a certain way that at some level in your heart or mind you know would be good for you, you know would be right for you, you know would be beneficial to you and those around you, you know would be beneficial for society, community, and yet, we don't take that, we find it hard to step into that. Because to step into that, we have to kind of step out of the way we've always done it. You know, it's interesting, in the big picture of Buddhism, they talk about three realms, right? Which is really like three realms of experience. The first realm is the desire realm. Right? Second realm is the form realm. The third realm is the formless realm. We're in the desire realm. So it's like, so you might not know it, but all human beings are in the desire realm. What does that mean? We're constantly what? If we're in the desire realm, it means our minds are constantly what? Wanting. Needing. And that's just not like, you know, like a desire, you know, like a big time. It means like we're never satisfied. The mind is always desiring something. And if you ever watch your mind all day, you'll see it's just endlessly what? Yeah, thinking, wanting, needing. You know, we get up in the morning and we first thing we want is what? Coffee. You know what I mean? It's desire. Right? I mean, but if you think about all the things that we do all day, it's always needing, 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 wanting, 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 right? It's and this endless, it's always propelling us. It's never letting us settle. It's never letting us be at peace. It's never letting us be content with what is, right? Because it's always that kind of mind at a subtle level is always agitated. If you think about what disturbs your meditation, what kind of thoughts disturb your meditation, there are often thoughts that are what? Wanting, needing, thinking about something, you know, even wanting things to be different. How much of us spend time wanting things to be different? Ourselves to be different, our relationships to be different, our world to be different, our jobs to be different, you know, people to be different. That's wanting. So the realm of form is meaning we're in this same life without the chronic desire. So we're able to be freely and live in this world without endlessly grasping, holding on, attaching, averting. So it's in this context And it's important that we understand big context so we understand, oh, now I get it. Yeah, this is the nature of this human life. It's always, it's the realm of desire. The problem with that is what? And again, coming back to our, you know, these smartphones and all they do for us, they instantly fulfill our what? Desire for what? Anybody want to know about, what's going on in the world in the last 2 minutes? I mean, how many times a day can you check the news? Because you desire what? To know what's going on. What's the weather going to be 5 minutes from now? Right? You know, who's doing what? We can check this, you know what I mean? If you think about your, it's endlessly fulfilling our desire, our need to know, desire. Now again, that's not intrinsically bad, it's only that it just keeps us always propelled forward, toward. It doesn't allow us to what? Settle. Remember we started our meditation today? We talked about what? Settling. Stable. Grounded. Mind and body at peace. If you ask people, would you like peace of mind? Like this is, I'll take a random sample. Okay, everybody in the hall, anybody would like a peaceful mind? All right. Or how would anybody like just a more peaceful mind than you have now? All right. Online, people can raise their hands. Anybody there want a peaceful mind?
Yes.
Lots of hands. Thank you, Brian, for speaking for everyone. Yeah. And yet, if we don't look at what's the cause of the agitation, you know, it's anybody ever, you know, shook up a bottle of soda or something, or a can, or a can of beer, or whatever you drink? Then when you pop the top, are you surprised when there's an explosion? No, right? Because we shook it up. And so we're not surprised that the pressure builds up. And then we open and explodes. But we don't realize that by keeping our minds agitated all day, right, we are creating that kind of inner pressure. Right? And that pressure manifests. It manifests in depression, anxiety, addiction, addiction to the smartphone and all the data. I mean, so many things. Shopping. I mean, it's we're always looking for release, aren't we? And we think when we encounter and engage in whatever it is that we do, it will allow us to be what? We will feel what? What is the promise?
Satisfied?
Yeah. Oh. Right? If I just find out what's going on in the world right now, right? There's a sense that, you know, we'll be satisfied, right? We'll be happy, but it's endless, isn't it? That's the problem with all this kind of very sophisticated short-term meeting of pleasure and stimulation and needs. There's no end to it because it doesn't deliver. All it delivers is momentary happiness, a momentary end of the inner anxiety, or you know what I'm saying, the agitation. It doesn't really give us what we want, which is what? We want peaceful mind, calm mind. Anybody like to be more kind of open-hearted and anybody want to be more open-hearted in life and their relationships? I mean, does it sound bad? Yeah, I mean, you see what I'm saying? That's what we want. That's very basic. You know, the Buddha said, you know, every human being wants to be happy. They don't want to suffer. all human beings. Right? I mean, that's... So, the question for all of us is, does the dust of the world lie light on my eyelids enough so that if I want to open my eyelids to see clearly, I can do it because I'm not weighed down? Why are we here today? You know, why are we here? Can I ask some of the people who just showed up for the first time, why are you here? Anybody brave enough to just say, well, you know, give me one sentence. You know, why are you here?
To experience peace.
To experience peace. Yeah, you're looking for peace. Good. Anybody else? Why do you know?
Curiosity.
What?
Curiosity.
But because you're looking for what? See, behind the curiosity is you're looking for what? I mean, you could have gone anywhere today. Why are you curious about this? Oh. Right. But you see what I'm saying? I mean, there's a reason you came here and you didn't go to 1,000 other places. Anyhow, but see, I think there's something we're looking for. Right? There's something we're looking for. There's something we've always been looking for. And that's peaceful mind. Harmonious, open heart. I mean, this is what we're always looking for. You know, we want to know who we are, who we really are, what our real potential is. This is why we're here. Even though it may not be clear in our minds, but underneath it, that's what moves us. But we need to understand, because of the nature of the culture we live in today, that, you know, we have to be very deliberate, almost strategic, if we want to get the benefits. Because as we've just spent, you know, the last half hour talking about this, it's just a lot to pull us away. And it's so easy. Anybody try to meditate? Is it easy to quiet and calm and stabilize your minds? What? Just a piece of cake? You see, it's easy to pick up a phone and watch TikToks, isn't it? It's easy to play a game. Right? It's easy to watch a movie. It's easy to do online shopping, right? I mean, that's easy. This is not easy. This is not instant success. Right? This is something that it's a skill that will bring great benefit, but we have to learn, which means we have to work at it. And again, on the other hand, as I say, we're fighting this. TikTok is what, 5 seconds? I mean, look what they're doing to our capacity to pay attention. Right? I mean, it is being significantly eroded. We have to understand that. So even more so, it takes a little more willingness to let go of all that and put boundaries and say, you know, right now, let's all do it. Okay, we'll just. So right now, I want just to be here. Sounds so simple, doesn't it? So we'll just sit up and go, say to ourselves, right now, I just want to be here. No stories about the past. No stories about the future. I'm just here. Now. Relaxed at ease, simply aware, seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, sensing, and mind relaxed, not holding on to anything, not grasping at anything. See if just for a moment you can put it all down, all your issues, all your problems, all your challenges, you know what I'm talking about, all that stuff, just put it down. We can put it down, why? Because we're all here. And in this moment, everything is fine. In this moment, everything is perfect, just as it is right now. See if just for a couple of minutes you can just let go. And just tell yourself again, everything is fine. Nothing to worry about, nothing to be concerned about right now. Let me enjoy the relief of putting it all down. All of it. For those of you who are still holding on to something, put that down. Comes up, as soon as it comes up, just let it go. Be at ease. You can hear the silence, the quiet. Just for a moment, step out of your conditioned life with all the stuff that's going on. Step out of your past, your future. Even step out of your identity, who you think you are. And just be here. Just be. Relaxed, at ease. Can this moment, just as it is, be enough? It doesn't mean thoughts don't arise, but we just or at ease, we don't trouble ourselves by anything. Everything's fine in this moment. This may be hard for many of us. Hard for us to let go of the storyline of our lives and just be, and just be who we are. Again, just for a moment, just see if you can just feel what it's like just to be relaxed, at ease. At peace. Don't judge yourself, don't assess yourself. Everything's fine right now. Whoever you are enough right now. Actually, our natural mind is at ease, is at peace. But we don't recognize it. Why? Because we're lost in thoughts, lost in stories, lost in stimulation. So this is a big shift in us, you know, people get interested in spirituality to understand that which I seek is in me already. That's hard for us, right? Because we grow up in a world and a society that's always telling us what? Yeah, it's out there. You see, I mean, we grow up, you know, if I get this, and 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 I get all my ducks in order, and I find the right this, and I find the right that, and I accumulate enough this, and I get enough that, then I can be at peace, I can be happy, right? It's, you know. But the real message of spirituality is, like Dharma, is our minds already have what we seek. Because what we seek and what gets in the way of our seeking is all occurring in our mind, right? If we say we want peace, we want a what? A peaceful mind. If we say my mind's not at peace, it means my mind's not at peace. That's why I'm not at peace. So now you understand why in Buddhist path, meditation is so central, because meditation deals with the mind. Right. And for most of us, growing up in the world we've grown up in, all we know about is how to what? Put information, learning, information, just endlessly, right? Putting stuff into the mind. More information, more stimulation. But we don't understand anything about how this mind operates. So meditation is that way that we can learn about our minds. That we can learn to have some control over our minds and our mind state. We can learn what's a wholesome mind state and what's an unwholesome mind state. Right? What kind of mind states contribute to my happiness and well-being and peace and all that, and what kind of mind states do the opposite. Right? It gives us criteria. What's a healthy way of living? What's an unhealthy way of living? Right? So, Let me stop now and open the floor to questions. And online, people can raise their hands. There's a little hand signal at the bottom of your screen, and Brian will relate. So people in the hall, just raise your hand, microphone. So again, what's coming up for you around this? You know, I've been going on and on now for a while, but what's coming up for you? You know, if you have any questions, see things differently. So over here.
Thank you, Fred. So what was coming to mind for me during the talk was just like, you're right, in this context that we live in, there's so much stimulation, and there's so much, you know, like you said, it's so easy. Like, what are the forces that can combat that, or what could be more powerful than that? And I can think of a couple of things that are very helpful, but the biggest thing for me that came up is community. And I was wondering if you could talk about that.
Yeah, so obviously, you know, part of our practice, and that's part of, you know, Thich Nhat Hanh's sharing of his path with us, is the centrality of community. Yeah. Community meaning like-minded people, right? Because we're talking about, when we talk about meditation, like in a serious way, and we talk about transforming ourselves and to become more peaceful, loving, open, free of emotional distress, right? That's not what the world is talking about, is it? You know, right? So to be around people who model it, to be around people who are actively working that way and seeking that way and practicing that way and to get support. Yeah, I mean, Thich Nhat Hanh was very clear. He said, and he comes from a, you know, a Buddhist culture, a traditional Asian culture. He said, in these days, he says, it's almost impossible to maintain a consistent transformative practice by yourself. Just again, like you said, that's just the nature of the society we live in. There's so much toxicity around. Anybody notice a lot of toxicity around? Yeah. As well as we said, so much distraction, so much ease of getting lost, that, you know, it's good to be around people who sort of help us stay on the path and show us another way. Yeah. Thank you. Any other questions? Challenges? I mean, it's...
We have two questions online.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
The first is from Deepa.
Mm-hmm.
Deepa says, does putting down mean suppressing?
Does what?
Putting down... putting down the thoughts or whatever, means suppressing.
No. Suppressing is something very active where you're trying to stop something. Our practice is not doing that. Our practice is openness. Our practice is letting things arise and pass. You know, if you do spend any time meditating and watching your mind and learning not to interfere with it, you will notice, as everyone notices who does that, that the nature of everything that arises in our mind is impermanent. Thoughts arise and then they disappear. Feelings arise and disappear. Sensations arise and disappear. You know. The problem is we do not understand that, so we are endlessly what? Grabbing, attaching, embroidering, obsessing, ruminating, right? Sound familiar? Right? That's a misuse of our mind, and by that we create these, you know, mind states of depression and anxiety and worry and anger and resentment, because we're not learning to let things be. Now again, in the Buddhist path, there's lots of work we do on ourselves. So I'm talking now about meditation, this learning, this wonderful ability to let things go. Just let things be. Very hard for us. But there's a lot of freedom in that. Now, are there things that need to be dealt with in life, within ourselves and in our relationships? Yes. Right? So this is not about suppression, but this is about a willingness to be present to what is and to deal with it intelligently, wisely, compassionately. Okay? And the next question?
The next question is from Beth.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, I want a mind that is alive, curious, and awake.
Mm-hmm.
how does calm factor into this? It seems opposite, and there's a little more. I know this is not opposite, but it is a block to live from the calm, alive, curious, and awake. Are there specific practices to help develop this mind?
Well, again, we're talking words. So calming the mind is the entrance way, right? Is the entrance way. Because one has to be able to, you know, again, when just, you know, working that little soda thing, you know, if the soda is full of bubbles, it's not clear, right? You can't really see what's going on in there. But when the bubbles all settle, you can see what's really going on in the water. Right? When the sediment settles, you can see what's there. So calming the mind is really the entrance meditative practice in the Buddhist path. So there's calming the mind and stabilizing the mind, and then there's this deeper looking, this insight, which is really what frees us. Now, the mind is, I mean, I'm not sure what the person is saying. We are alive. Every one of us right now is fully alive, right? Our mind and body is energized with the life force, right? We're all here, seeing, smelling, tasting, hearing, thinking, feeling. This is our natural aliveness. Right? And out of that aliveness comes response to life, which we might call curiosity, or we may call creativity. I mean, this all arises out of the aliveness of our minds. Now, the problem is that many of us are not able to be in touch with our natural aliveness because we are what? Doing all the things we just talked about. Right? You know, we are endlessly, by constantly ingesting information, by constantly ingesting stimulation, by constantly being agitated, you know, and desiring and needing and wanting and spending all that energy, we're not in touch with our natural aliveness. See, what the Buddha discovered is everything we seek is already here. It's just our wrong thinking, our wrong views, our misuse of our mind that prevents us from experiencing that. Right? But we'll never experience it if we do not pay attention to it. So when we learn to settle the mind down and be present, when we learn to be present to what just what we're seeing and hearing and smelling and tasting and feeling, we're present to our aliveness. That's why we talk about living in the present moment. Anybody ever hear that? I mean, that's like their, I'm sure their t-shirts and all kinds of things. Okay, live in the present moment. it's like a slogan, right? You know, but what does that mean? It means I'm here, in this present moment, fully alive and attentive. Like, I hope that's where we all are right now. Like, I'm fully alive doing this, and you're there listening, doing that, and we're all just fully alive to each other. But if we're lost in thoughts of the past and lost in thoughts of the future and going over our list of all our worries and all our issues and all our problems, right? We're not going to experience the aliveness of this moment. Squirrels and birds do not have a problem with being alive in the moment, do they? Right? Anybody have a dog or a cat? They have no problem being alive. They just do what they do. But we have a problem with our aliveness, because we're not present to our life. We're lost. So we need to come home, come back, settle down, retrain ourselves, and how to just to to live a life that gives us happiness, connection. You know, when you leave here today and you go about your life today, do you connect with everybody you're with? Are you alive to them? Are you alive to their aliveness? Or are you, you know? Anyhow. Any other questions or comments before we end? Yes.
Thank you. So this kind of goes to what you were just talking about connecting and,
yes,
and becoming connected within. And what I'm looking at is that we live in a society, it's almost worldwide now, that we're so electronic.